to the bottom of the sea, eager to share their love's journey. Two fish raced into the ocean deep. The further they went, their fun grew dramatically. So large it grew, and suddenly they knew.
I'm Peter Solomon. You're listening to Jazz 88, and I have the pleasure to speak today with the Grammy Award-winning pianist and singer and songwriter and composer Nicole Zoraitis. Her album How Love Begins, which was released July of last year, was awarded the Grammy for Best Jazz Vocal Recording in 2024, and she's going to be playing a gig at the Dakota, kind of a pre-show for the Twin Cities Jazz Festival happening this weekend that we are broadcasting. Nicole, it's such a pleasure to talk to you. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Peter. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to coming this Thursday.
I want to talk to you about this album that you won a Grammy Award with. It's called How Love Begins, and you've got the songs on the album. It's kind of like a song cycle, it seems, and there's the first several tunes are classified under oil, and the second set of tunes are water. Can you tell me about the concept behind the album and the inspiration for the concept?
Yeah, the concept is it was inspired by environmental photography. I saw what I thought was a painting that turned out to be an aerial photograph of the Gulf of Mexico Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Mm. And I was looking for inspiration on how to bring together the narrative of the songs that I had written. And something about seeing this beautiful, what I thought piece of art, but it was a beautiful photograph, you know, also art, made me think of this theme of like sometimes the most beautiful things in life are also the most heartbreaking. And I was like, that to me is like what relationships are, love, friendship, all that stuff. You know, there's even like pets, like right now my dog Bella is like not doing great. So everything is like cyclical. So I thought about like the cycles and, you know, how love begins is part one, part two is how love ends. And then at the end, the bonus is like how it begins again. So that's how the narrative was formed.
So that environmental disaster was about 15 years ago. How long has this album been in gestation?
Christian and I started working on this in 2021. And the oil and water theme was also important to me because I live on Long Island Sound. And I always like to incorporate a bit of activism within my art. And so when I was looking at the oil and water, that's how I stumbled across this photograph, even though it was 15 years ago. I mean, I know that when I heard about the Deepwater Horizon spill, I was so horrified by that. And as we are living through the climate crisis, I thought it was so important to have a little bit of the little I can do to just say my piece with what we should be doing to help the environment.
And you know, it kind of speaks to your audience on a couple of different levels, at least, because there's a climate aspect that was the initial inspiration, and then, you know, you're talking about love through the album. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about a few of the songs, if you don't mind. The very first song,
yeah, sure.
See, it's called The Good Ways.
You're only crazy in the good ways. A constant cyclone and head spin. You're only crazy when the sun is shining. Tides flow out and in.
There was something about the song that brought Peggy Lee to mind, and
yes,
you know, I can you tell me a little bit about that song?
I wanted The Good Ways to be like my song for the people. You know, I thought if I was to listen to an album, rather than getting into the nitty gritty, like what if I just did something playful? And you know, Peggy Lee is a great example of just like, it's a playful lyric. It's based on a backhanded compliment that I got where someone said, man, you're so crazy, but in the good ways. And I was like, I love that. I think that's a terrific compliment to, you know, to say that someone is unique and hard to capture and marches to the beat of their own drum. I think that that's a lovely compliment. And so I wrote that song based on that. And sometimes I like to joke that I'm like the gateway drug to jazz, and with that like shuffle feel and the organ and just like a, you know, jazz was the pop music back in the day. So I figured I'd open strong with being reminiscent of the great singers prior.
Something else that happened back in the 1930s sometimes was that lyricists would use melodies from classical themes. It was funny because this morning I actually played Mildred Bailey doing My Reverie, which is based on the same Debussy composition, Reverie, that became one of your songs, Melody. So I was wondering, what was it that attracted you to this Debussy composition?
Daydreams are unleashed and in this revelry, absent thoughts laced with melancholy.
I'm a former opera singer. I have a penchant for classical music, and I never was a trained pianist. I'm a self-taught pianist, but I had been asked to do this show, like from opera to pop, and we were looking for songs that were kind of crossing over, and they showed me, I think it was Ella's version of My Reverie, and I was like, I love this. And so I said, there's no bridge, it's not the full form of the song. So I added like that they don't have that in the Mildred and the Ella versions. And then I wrote my own lyric to it. And then I put it with this like kind of crazy feel. And I could just imagine Christian McBride and Gilad Hexelman and Billy Kilson just like destroying that energy and that feel. So I'm pretty proud of that arrangement.
Right. I think that this album bears repeated careful listening, and I've listened to it about 1.5 times, so I don't have the mastery of the material to ask you about every song. I just wanted to ask you about the last song, The Garden. Can you tell me about the concept behind this closing tune on the album?
Flowers unseen in a garden of peace that now only holds weeds.
That's a really beautiful thing that you said, because I think that is kind of the Achilles heel, or maybe the nice part about this record is that it is a story, like it's a beginning to an end. And like The Garden, my aunt in Italy was one of the first people who said, wow, I actually read your lyrics, everything okay? You know, and then she said, in The Garden, like The Garden always makes me cry, because it just it's where you say like, I'm going to meet this person where they are, and you know, things are impossible, but you know, a rose, you know, it'll bend but it won't break. It's going to morph with the wind. It has to be, you have to have flexibility in the way that you approach love, life, and beyond. And so The Garden is that song about how to begin again.
I'm always interested in how producers work with musicians and what sort of things they bring to the table. And it seems that every producer has their own individual skill set. And then when you're talking about Christian McBride, he's such a phenomenal bassist. But obviously, he has a lot more going for him. He's a great radio host. He's got deep, deep roots in the music. What was the collaboration like with Christian? And what was the kind of the workflow like?
Christian is just a champion of an artist that he believes in. And I think that for someone like me who's been working a long time, but also kind of came into this industry a little bit later, to have someone like him say, no, you're going to play the piano on this record. You think Carole King doesn't play the piano? You know, she wrote the songs. You wrote all the music. Why wouldn't you play the piano? And then, no, we're not going to play to a click. You know, we're going to do it live. You sound amazing. Like, so all those vocals on How Love Begins, they're live. You know, I sang them and played them at the same time. Like, it's a real jazz record, despite not having like Cheek to Cheek on it. So I felt like his greatest attribute as a producer, besides, of course, also playing the bass perfectly, was being the most epic cheerleader. And I think installing confidence in an artist is equally as important as nitpicking. Like, I don't need anybody to tell me that a note's out of tune. Like, I know. Like, I produce it with him, and I'm going to start producing other people as well, because it turns out I'm a producer. And what Christian was like, it's like, you're the producer. I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Like, I don't want to wear all the hats, but I do. And also, he's just such a joy to be around. We want to always mitigate the negativity when you're in the studio, and he's just a big oaf. So pretty terrific.
I've never heard him described that way, but I have spoken with him, so I can imagine. Another artist that you're appearing with happens to be your husband, and he's a big band leader himself, and we actually have one of the tunes from his recent recording in our playlist right now, is Dan Pugach. And can you talk about his contribution to the album? And I also want to ask you about the guitarist.
I'm not sure if you can hear him playing the piano now downstairs because my dog busts through the door and opened the door. So I was like, you can hear him composing more big band music right now if you'd like. But yeah, he's a wonderful drummer, big band composer, arranger. He also has a Grammy nomination. We were nominated together for our arrangement of Jolene in 2019 with the Nonette. And, you know, he has the big band record that you have, but we're also re-releasing it in August with additional tracks, with three additional tracks that I wrote and he arranged, and we wrote a song together. We're really excited just to like breathe some new life into that project, because when I won the Grammy, it was just kind of like, there's only two of us. We can't do everything all at once. So his album is spectacular. It's called Bianca. And then we donate proceeds to that to Pitbull Rehabilitation and Dog Rescue Rehabilitation. So he's fantastic, and people should check out his record, Dan Pugach, Big Band Bianca.
Tell me if you would about the guitarist too.
So Gilad Heckelman is a fabulous guitar player. I had always been like admiring him on the New York scene. I'd go see him perform. I just thought he had a very interesting and very unique sound. Like, he does soundscapes with pedals, and I actually ran into Samar Joy's manager, and he said, I thought Gilad was a very interesting choice for your record, and I didn't think it was going to work, but then when I listened to it, it was like, it actually does work. I'm like, yeah.
Another backhanded compliment. Yeah.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to write the new Good Ways post February. And that was going to be full of good ones. Yeah, you sound a lot better than I thought you would. Yeah. That's my favorite. So yeah, Gilad just added a really special, unique touch with guitar. And my guitarist, Idan Marim, who is coming with me to the Dakota, I think is equally, if not, like, he's just so incredibly special. He has a presence about him. And I don't know, something about those incredible Israeli musicians, they just bring like a magic to the guitar.
So I feel like I can't let you go without asking you the question, and I'm sure every single person asks you, and that was, what was it like to win the Grammy for this recording?
I thought that I would feel like elated, but I actually felt a lot of anxiety and fear, because I really didn't see it coming. I didn't know if I wanted to hold that title, especially, you know, it's Black American music. It's, you know, it's jazz. It's rooted in this incredible tradition that I have spent my entire life learning. And I was like, I don't know if I want that title, but it has been given to me. And so I'm really adamant about making sure that I do right by my jazz and try and just be a genuine and kind ambassador to the genre, to bring more people to this beautiful art form and draw attention to Black American music and the importance that it has on the entirety of our American repertoire, yeah. You know? And I also was honored and delighted, but whew, it's a lot. But I've been working my whole life, and people know me, at least in New York. So it's nice to be seen on a more global scale. And I look forward to it. It'll be my first time ever playing in Minneapolis, ever.
Who are you going to bring with you? You mentioned one musician, your guitar player. Who else are you bringing with you to the Dakota?
I'm bringing Idan Marim on the guitar, Sam Weber on the bass, and Dan Pugach on the drums, and then myself on piano and voice. I'm looking forward to the Dakota this Thursday, part of that pre-jazz festival. And I look forward to coming back again. And if people want to find out more, they can visit me on Instagram, Nicole Z Music, Nicole Z Music, or NicoleZMusic.com.
Thank you so much, Nicole. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.